Hashem says, V'ra'iseh sachairai, ufanai la'ira, you'll see only my hind part, and my face you won't see. So Chassidus interprets it, V'ra'iseh sachairai, you'll see my hind part, ufanai, and you'll also see my face through la'ira, through not seeing it. The face you don't see through looking. The face you see through not looking. That Moshe wants to give the Jews this water. Hashem says, fine, you got it. But you cannot come into Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people receiving Alma Deskasia means that you cannot come into Eretz Yisrael. If Moshe would come into Eretz Yisrael, the Medrash says, there would never be exile, there would never be destruction. The Beis HaMikdash could never be destroyed if Moshe comes into Eretz Yisrael. Because Moshe's Pnei Chama, if Moshe's energy and the energy of Eretz Yisrael would integrate, the intense spirituality that would be revealed in that soil would be indestructible. It would not be vulnerable to manipulation, to abuse, to destruction. It's only when Yeshua comes into Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua's Pnei Levana, the face of the moon, where there can still be abuse and ultimately the Beis HaMikdash can be destroyed. He says, if you want to give the Jews Alma Deskasia, then in this world it will translate ultimately in an incomplete situation. You being in Eretz Yisrael, and there only being a flow of goodness and positivity could not come about if they receive Alma Deskasia. If you want them to receive the mystery of my intimacy, it has to come into this world in a mysterious way. And here begins the challenge. Moshe begs to go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe says, why? Why can't we have the waters of Alma Deskasia and appreciate it in a positive way? Why do people must find God through pain? Why is it that people must be broken in order to experience real spirituality? Why can't we experience God in comfort, in tranquility, in a sense of goodness and positivity? Why is it that we see practically and realistically what we spoke about last week? That human beings find the real God, real spirituality, usually in pain. Why is it, he tells Hashem, that your intimacy must come down in a mysterious way? Why can't we be in touch with real energy and not have to experience suffering in the process? Why does cleansing must come through suffering? Moshe will not succumb to that. He'll pray again and again and again. And what's Hashem's response to that? He doesn't have an answer. He doesn't have an answer. There's no answer to the this real mystery. He finally says, don't talk to me about it ever again. This is a place where I dare to say Hashem is very lonely. Even Moshe was not taken into that place. Moshe, the faithful leader, fought it till the end. Till the end he fought it. Why? Real God, the real God, must translate itself into pain. He fought it till the end. Moshe knew that essentially it can't be that way. Alma Deskasia has to come out. Why does this have to be the process? You see, by the examples we gave last week, a student, a teacher, who wants to share the deepest knowledge with the student, it comes out in a way that confuses the student. We understand it has to be that way. Because the student is inferior to his teacher. If his teacher takes him into his inner circle, that equals confusion for the student. Because his parameters are not vessels for that intense level of energy. But Hashem is unlimited, even by the fact that he's unlimited. So does unlimitedness must translate itself in darkness in a limited world? Every time we pray Refa'enu, what we're praying is, of course we know it comes from Hashem. Of course we know it comes from Hashem is good. But the fact that it's this way is coming from the way Hashem established the system. A sensible system. But a system. But Hashem is systemless. He's systemless even in the fact that he's systemless. The fact that he doesn't have a system also is not systematic. So Alma Deskali, you can come down in Alma Deskali. And therefore we pray for revealed goodness, and we want revealed goodness, and even the great spiritual figures who knew what Alma Deskali means beg that their people should have revealed conspicuous good. Because this is what it's really all about. What it's really, really all about. Really, really. Two realies. And here, Hashem says this is ultimately a mystery, why it has to be this way. It's part of the mystery of Alma Deskasya. It comes from the same place where pain comes from. From Hashem's intimate self. And this has very practical implications about our sensitivity to someone in pain. We have to realize the energy that exists in pain. You're entering into a sacred place when you talk to someone in pain. Very sacred place. Remove your shoes from your feet. Shalna alecha me'al raglecha. Humble yourself totally to that human being. Just be there for the other person. Divest yourself from your ego and your solutions and your brilliance and your philosophy. Be there for the other person. Because he was taken in to the inner circle of Hashem, where even Moshe Rabbeinu could not comprehend that fully. But essentially, the final consequence that the Alter Rebbe wants to convey in the present situation, where there is still that dichotomy between the two olamos, where the sun still exists in a container, that the human being should not be crushed from it, should not become sad from it. We become sad when we feel that a crime has been done to us. Why do we become sad when we have pain? It's not always because of the pain. It's because the unfairness. I wasn't deserving of it. There was a criminal act done. That can be removed. One of the participants of our class, after last week, she shared with me a personal, wonderful little experience. He was in shul the Shabbos before. In the middle of davening, he received a kick in a certain place of his body that was very, very, very painful. And you know when you experience that intense pain, the first initial response is pain. A moment later, the next response is you get into the emergency mode, ready to fight back and protect yourself. Which begins developing into anger, and real anger, and then negativity and animosity and so forth. So he tells me that he turns around, ready to battle or to scream or to rebuke or to and so forth. And what does he see? He sees a little child playing with someone else, having a lot of fun, and he realized that the child inadvertently didn't even know that he did it, gave him a kick in the midst of his playing. And he tells me that he burst out in laughter. And it's difficult to understand because the pain wasn't diminished. But it happens to all of us. You laugh. Why are you laughing? The pain was the same, but he laughed about it. Because the child was having fun. The child was loving. The child wasn't a hater. The child was loving. He was having fun, and he did it by mistake. So it doesn't. If you don't change the pain, you can change the perception of it. Where it's coming from, understanding where it's coming from, and understanding how you relate to it, and so forth. That doesn't have to break a personal tremendousness. He can still be really joyous. It's not easy. But Alter Rebbe says it's a challenge of a human being in life. And that's the answer to your two questions. Why we say Chas V'Shalom and why we pray. Let's just learn a little piece. Just a little piece. We'll conclude with that. A few minutes. Heaven forbid it shouldn't happen. Heaven forbid it should remain hidden. It should remain hidden. Atazai, very well. Our tefillah is a demonstration of our value system that Alma Diskasi is supposed to be revealed. Revealed in a way of revelation.
That's what we're asking. Heaven forbid it should be hidden. It should be beneath us.
If you read this piece in Tanya, it contains extra. Such energy that's really indescribable. Alter Rebbe writes in Igeres HaKodesh, section 11. He restates this point, and he says that this is the purpose why man was created. To integrate real emunah, that less asar ponu minei, that there's no place devoid of him, of Hashem. This is the reason why he was created. And he says there an expression, V'lachein ha'mayim in lo yachush, the believer will not fear, ki hein v'lav shavin etzloi, because yes and no are identical by him. Because there's no place devoid of Hashem. There's a chassid, his name was Reb Yitzchak Isaac of Hummel, he was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, and he writes in a letter, in a letter at the end of his Sefer Chana Ariel, I think it's here, so he writes that when he would hear the discourses of the Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe and the Mittler Rebbe concerning this issue, he says it transformed our lives in such a powerful way that I pasha want to go out into the streets and shout and scream, Alt is good! Everything is good. But now the Alter Rebbe, and we'll conclude with this piece, addresses another type of sadness. This is a sadness that comes from negative occurrences or experiences in man's life. But then there's another sadness. That's a sadness that comes from what Hashem does. But then there is a sadness that comes from what you do to yourself. Now what are you going to say about this? Comes from Alma Diskasia. It doesn't come from Alma Diskasia. It comes from our poor choices, from our temptations, urges, lusts, negative dispositions, ego, arrogance, self-centeredness, and so on and so forth. Sometimes that drives us up a wall. So this is his next piece. Achatzus b'mila d'shmaya. Oh, the Flamet Gimel Amid Aleph, page 65, four lines from the bottom. Achatzus b'mila d'shmaya. As for sadness connected with heavenly matters versus sadness connected with worldly matters discussed above, sadness that comes from man's own failings, from negative things he did to himself, he did to others, and they perturb us deeply. So with Alter Rebbe's advice, won't be here to tell the human being, Gamzu l'tayva, don't worry, it's all good, no need for rectification. Over here the Alter Rebbe says, Tzarech lotzis eitzis benafshi lepotim imena. One must now seek ways and means of freeing oneself from it. And he has to explain what he means, freeing oneself from it. Does this mean that we should be unaccountable? Does this mean that we should be careless of our own situation, of our own failings and misdoings and wrong behavioral patterns and so forth? So he will make a distinction. This type of sadness can enter into our psyche at two periods in our life, two times. One is when we're davening or learning. It happens very often. One is when we're involved in our mundane matters, whether business or other issues, meals, sleeping, and so forth. So he says like this, Ein sarich leimer b'shas avod, that this applies to the time of one's divine service, is self-evident. Shetzarich l'avod Hashem b'simcha v'tuv levav. One must serve Hashem with joy and gladness of heart. If you stand up to pray, to meditate, to learn, to engage in spirituality, and suddenly you're overtaken by a sense of grief, despair, and melancholy. I did this. I did that. I lied. I cheated. I deceived. I fell prey to this temptation. I'm a lowly human being. I have so many blemishes in my life, and so forth. It might all be true. Says the Alter Rebbe, this is the wrong time. What is it now doing this? It's not allowing you to serve Hashem with joy. So I'm not telling you to say it's wrong. Take it out of your mind now. Now I'm serving Hashem, and you have to serve Him with joy. But the Alter Rebbe says furthermore, Elafilu mishu balasakim v'derech eretz, even one who is occupied in business and worldly affairs, imnei filoi etzev v'daigam emili d'shmaya b'shas asakov, should there descend upon him any sadness or anxiety about spiritual matters during his business affairs. So you might think this is a demonstration of your integrity. It's not a middle of spirituality. You're in the middle of work. You're in the middle of shopping. You're in the middle of buying the groceries. You're in the middle of going to the bank, making a deposit. You're driving your car. And then suddenly descends upon you a real worry, sadness, and melancholy because of your degraded spiritual situation. Isn't that a demonstration of your truth? Zagdir al Terebe biyadua shu tachbolus hayetzer. I'm telling you, it's certainly biyadua. Let it be known that this is a trick, a scheme of your negative inclination. Kedei la'apiloi achar kach b'taivus chas v'shalom k'neida. In order to lure him, to schlep him in afterwards into lusts, God forbid, Kinoida as is well known. She'im loikein, for if it were not so, that this depression is coming from the negative inclination, tell me, says the Alter Rebbe, me'ayin bo loy atzvus amitis, machmas avas Hashem ayirasi be'emtza asakov. Whence could a genuine sadness, one that is derived from love and fear of Hashem, come to him in the midst of his business affairs? Since when did you become such a spiritual, godly human being? If it's true sadness, it wouldn't come now. If it's real sadness, what does real sadness mean? Because you really care about God? You have to pay a price for getting that feeling. In middle of business, you weren't in the state of love, of awe. You weren't learning, you weren't davening, you weren't meditating, you weren't working on yourself. If it would be real spirituality, this sudden sense of real sadness wouldn't come. You have to work in order to gain a spiritual profit. You know what it is? It's a Yetzirah. One of the most extraordinary ways of getting a person to fall prey to his negative lusts and temptations is getting him depressed. Unfortunately, we often err in this issue. Yetzirah knows very well you're middle of business. You're busy! But we also have a part, a temptation-like part, that has all these various types of urges, which we won't get into at the moment, but everyone knows, we all know it from our personal lives, that are very unhealthy in many issues, in intimate issues, in psychological issues, in emotional issues, in bodily issues, in relationships, and so on and so forth. One of the best schemes of our negative animalistic inclination is get him into a bad mood, depressed. Let him feel bad about himself. But what is he going to tell you? Feel bad about what? So the best thing is he tells you, feel bad because of your spiritual situation. Now tell us if this is not true or not, says the Alter Rebbe. Next time you feel depressed, note and you'll see that approximately 10 or 20 minutes later, you'll feel a strong taiva. So look at it, check it out. You don't have to believe me. The next time you have atzvos, and you're not majorly busy and preoccupied, you know, that you can't think about anything. Look, approximately 10 minutes later, by some people it's 5 minutes, but not necessarily. 10 minutes later, usually the most 20 minutes, you'll have a strong taiva to something unhealthy, not to something healthy. Why? It's a pasha to cheshbon. Two reasons. When you fall into a state of sadness and depression, you need an outlet for your frustration. A person doesn't want to be in a state of sadness. Here, Tivus craft a wonderful outlet, instant gratification, not a lot of work, immediate high, alleviation of the stress, and you're a happy man. Of course, it's a momentary gratification. It's not really dealing with the issue. So that's why the next step after Atzvos is Tivus. That's one reason. Another reason Dr. Rebbe points out elsewhere is when you feel low about yourself, you feel you're worthless. So it doesn't matter if I do unhealthy things, because I don't matter. So my life doesn't matter. Says Dr. Rebbe, if you're in the middle of your business, and an atzvus comes in of mili d'shmaya, you should know that usually it's the Yetzirah coming. And I have to emphasize, someone asked me a question, a good question. The Baal Shem Tov says, the Gemara says that every day a baskel comes out. A baskel comes out and tells Yidden to do tshuva. Frag the Baal Shem Tov, no one hears this baskel. So the Baal Shem Tov says that this echo is heard by your soul. And that's the reason why sometimes in the middle of the day, a human being suddenly experiences hirure tshuva. Experiences a feeling that I should become good, I should become better. And this is coming from the fact that a soul hears the baskel. Is this a contradiction to what Alter Rebbe is saying? No! What the soul hears and what you experience then is I should become better! Sometimes you're sitting on your couch and you feel this energy of inspiration overtaking you and it motivates you to do something good. That's wonderful. But the atzvos, the real feeling bad, if it's in the middle of your business affairs, says the Alter Rebbe, it's coming from the Yetzer. How do you know for sure? Maybe it's coming from your spirituality. He says, because where does genuine, if it would be genuine, not a scheme of the Yetzirah to get you, if it would be a real spiritual experience, it wouldn't be coming from the Yetzirah. You wouldn't have it now. You would have to invest. You would have to have Avos Hashem in order to have it, Yiras Hashem. So what do we do about this? So how do you deal with it? So this is what Alter Rebbe says now. So therefore, as a practical consequence, whether the depression settles upon him during his service of Hashem in Torah study or prayer, Or when he is not engaged in study or prayer, and these thoughts fall into him, and he becomes sad as a result of it, to tell them that they're not true is incorrect. They might be true. So what do you do? This is what he should put place to his heart. This is what he should consider. Now is not the proper time for genuine sadness. Nor even for worry over grave sins, Hashem forbid. There is room to worry about it, but now is not the time for it. Rak, for this one must set aside opportune times when the mind is calm, to reflect on the greatness of Hashem, to reflect on the greatness of Hashem against whom he has sinned, so that thereby his heart will truly be rent with genuine remorse, as is explained elsewhere when this time should be. A person should experience remorse as a result of negative transgressions or blemishes and so forth. But don't allow that remorse to come when it's better for the Yetzirah. You have to set aside time for it. And we sometimes are very careless about this. Who of us sets aside times to be sad? We don't. Because our sadness comes from the Yetzirah. And he doesn't want set aside times. He wants it in his times, in order that he should be able to achieve what he needs to achieve as a result of that sadness. Meditus is bitterness as opposed to depression, which is a constructive remorse, a more type of a good grief rather than downtrodden grief. And this is important to understand. It's very important to understand. So the Alter Rebbe says that when these thoughts come in, talk to them and tell them, listen, you might have a point. I might have violated grave issues, grave transgressions and so forth that need rectification. And I'll deal with them. But now is not the time. Now I'm serving Hashem. Now I'm celebrating my relationship with Hashem. Now I have to do what I have to do in order to live my life, whether it's my business or my work or my appointments and so forth. I'll deal with you. I'm not running away. I'm still a human being. You'll see the Yetzirah all right away saying, no, but you're so bad. Deal with me now. Why deal with me now? I'm still going to exist in 10 hours, hopefully. He doesn't like that, because he needs the taiva. I was preparing this perek, waiting for a dentist appointment on Friday. So my dentist was checking out my teeth. So he tells me that I brush my teeth wrong. I assume a lot of us do. He asks me, how do I brush my teeth? I say, I brush here, the face of the tooth. He says, that's wrong. You're making them yellow. You're not supposed to brush the face of your tooth. Did you know that? No, well, I'm telling you. Where do you have to brush? You have to brush between the gum and the tooth. I ask why. He says the primary purpose of brushing your teeth is not to keep your teeth white. They are naturally white. You don't have to worry about that. That makes it yellow because it rubs off the whiteness ultimately. He says the purpose of brushing your teeth is to remove the bacteria. And the bacteria conceals itself between the gum and the tooth. So I say, why shouldn't you brush the face of the tooth in case the bacteria is here? So my dentist turns to me and tells me, if you would be bacteria, would you go right here? No, you go into crevices, into nuances, into concealed places. He says, make believe you're the bacteria. What would be your scheme? You're trying to destroy the situation. Would you come here? Hey, I'm here. Bacteria doesn't come there. Forget about it. So get that in the lecher, in the holes it goes in. See, the Tzara doesn't come to you, do tivus. Tells you, listen, ach, your spirituality is so bad. You're a terrible person. God is unhappy with you. You did so many sins. That's what you have to be careful of. So you don't only get Tanya lessons, you get dental lessons. An extra fee. Anyway, so you turn to it and you say, listen, let's make a time. You be in control of your sadness. Don't let your sadness be in control of you. Make a time for it. Dr. Rebbe says, make a time. Your mind should be clean, clear, be yishuv adas. And what do you contemplate? Gdulas Hashem asher chatalai. It's also very important. Don't begin that time by thinking, I'm nothing, I'm worthless, I'm valueless. Think about Hashem. That's one of the distinctions between true sadness and Yetzirah sadness, destructive sadness. Think about the true, genuine reason you should be sad. Not because you should be able to have tivus afterwards. Think about Gdolos Hashem Asher Chatalai. Then, Yiyalibar Nishbar Be'emes. Then it will be a spiritual grief, a real grief. Now, the Rebbe says, has explained this time somewhere else. In the Geres HaTshuva, in chapter 7 and chapter 11, he says that the opportune times for this is at Krishma Shalamita, prior to one going to bed, or at Tikkun Chatzais, at midnight, and the like. But a special time. Not it should come to you in middle when you're driving and you're on the highway and so forth. That's unhealthy. Now the Rebbe concludes, Risham Nizbayer Gamke. And there in that place, in the Geres HaTshuva, it's also explained, Kimiyad Acher Shenishba Libei Beitim Kvuyim Ahim, that immediately after his heart has been broken, during those appointed times, Az Yasira Etzav Milibei Legamri, he should completely remove the sorrow from his heart. V'yamin emuna shlema. And he should believe with perfect faith. Ki Hashem hevir chatosoy, that Hashem has erased his sin. V'rav li sloyach, and that he pardons abundantly. V'zuhi ha-simcha ha-mitis ba-Hashem. This knowledge and this awareness is the true joy in Hashem. Haba achar ha'etzev, which follows the sadness, kinisker le'el, as explained above in the beginning of the chapter, b'chol etzev yiyemoyser, that the only advantage of sadness lies in the joy to which it gives rise. Which means when a person does dedicate a time for a true self-introspection on his spiritual situation, and comes to realize that there is a reason to experience a bitterness, and there is a reason to have that sense of sadness and brokenness, as a result of a genuine sense of repentance and regret and sadness, sometimes he can stay there. Says the Alter Rebbe, you did that, know that Hashem forgives you. If it was real, Hashem is also real. You know, there was a Yid, he would always come, every Monday and Thursday, he would come into Beis Medrash, and he would ask everyone for forgiveness. And then the next day, he would abuse them again, and the next Monday, ask forgiveness again. And again, and again, and again. But Jews like to forgive, so they didn't know what to do. So one Kluge Yid says, you forgive me? He asks him, you forgive me? He says, just. I forgive you just as you ask me for forgiveness. With the same feeling that accompanies, you're asking for forgiveness, that's the same feeling, I forgive you. So a person has to know, if it was real sadness, Hashem listened. Hashem was also in tune. And He forgave you. Now start fixing. Now start rectifying. Now it's time to begin. It's time to rebuild, to be constructive. Don't bathe and bask and dwell in the negativity and in the spirit and the melancholy. Now fakert. Now start, open a new chapter. Start a new chapter. And this is the true joy that comes as a result of sadness. And here the sadness is constructive because it breaks the iron curtain, which the Alter Rebbe discussed in the beginning of the chapter, that doesn't allow us to experience genuine joy because of the iron curtain. So here there's the advantage of sadness. The sadness that was constructed as a result of premeditation, not as a result of negative lusts and temptations and so forth. And here is the healthy atzvus of Mila Deshmaya. A healthy atzvus. But in any other time, the human being has to ruthlessly eradicate it. Have a good day and a wonderful week. Yes.
I think I asked you a few weeks ago, but here it came out a lot. What if someone really did serve Hashem with a great joy and simple? Could that break the act of... Was it done through reverse? It was done through great...
If it's unique situations, but very often that's coming from the fact that we don't want to face our misdoings, and then not. In other words, we're avoiding the pain. Then not. A Jew who has that extreme simcha, not because he's avoiding anything, then it's a derech sometimes. But very often that's a cover up so that we shouldn't have to confront the situation, and then it won't work. Yeah. But specific times, and not allowing those times to extend, and not allowing the sadness to extend beyond the parameters of those times. Then is genuine sadness. If not, the sadness is feeding into the Yetzihara, it's feeding into arrogance, it's feeding into just wanting to be depressed and sad and so forth. You know what I mean? A controlled sadness is feeding into its true purpose. That's the point. Gesundheit. At times, real simcha, absolute, only simcha is the derech. But the person has to be secure that he's not doing that just because of his fear to face the pain. Then it's a derech, because then it can break the iron curtain. But sometimes our excessive simcha is coming not because we feel that simcha is the method, but because we're unready or unwilling to humble ourselves. And then the iron curtain is still there. Yes. But the primary purpose is simcha. Primary purpose is simcha. But you don't want the simcha should be trapped by the iron curtain. Simcha being trapped by the iron curtain means when the human being has negativity in him and misdoings, things he did wrong, there is a wall in him. His soul is not free. There's a wall of klipa in him. Avedas create a wall of klipa, and you have to break that wall. You have to break that wall by facing it, by confronting it. If you did wrong to another person, you have to go over to the other person and work it out with him. And that breaks the partition, breaks the wall. It allows your soul to emerge, and it allows you to celebrate.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or albums, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.